Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, man. We had some great guests. Jake Vandeplas, Door County Farm for Veterans. If you'd like to get involved with that, please contact me or Jim or Todd or whomever.
Their website, Johnny, that DC Farms for Vets.
Yep.
.org.
What a great organization. Yeah. Help them out. Also, Kayla Carius, new UW Green Bay women's basketball coach. Man, she could recruit me right now. I'd go run through a wall. Unbelievable. And now we got another guy, Shannon Alberts, longtime friend, owner of Security Loop Key Roofing. They do so much for veterans. It is mind-boggling. But also, this is in Jim's wheelhouse because we're just talking, Shannon. You go back. You were one of the first listeners with me and Vinny back in the day.
It was like 95, maybe.
Yes. Burke was answering the phones and whatever.
And you were painting houses.
And you were a college kid, and now you own a multi-million dollar company that does incredible things for veterans and community and... And Jim, I'm going to let you take it away because this is Jim's. He loves stories of people that start out literally at the bottom and become huge successes. He always wants to pick your brain for his students.
I love what you said. I wasn't born on third base.
You were not born on third base.
I love that quote.
That's the honest truth.
And there's some people that were, but there's a lot of us that weren't and still, and you made it work. And look, I want to talk about the quality. I'm sure that's number one, the quality of your product, the quality of roofs, customer service. But you as a person, I mean, that's not easy. It's not easy to become an entrepreneur. There's a lot of risks. You're not always, cash flow isn't always what you think it is. What kept you going? I mean, you really were, did you start it at the roofing company?
And trust me, whatever you say he's going to use for his class, he's going to use the students. But, so go ahead.
Well, you named three things. You said quality and service and the products. For me, from day one, it was the employees.
In which way?
I remember a quote from Richard Branson that said, if you take care of your employees, they'll take care of your customers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
And I remember when the opportunity came to buy the business 11 years ago, it was the people. It was the brand a little bit.
Sure.
Because I was a sales rep at the time, so I knew it was a good brand. But it was the people that you had a heart for, and we didn't want to see that thing fall apart. And that was, there were 20 employees 11 years ago, and now we have 120.
Wow.
Yeah.
You love that growth. I mean, some of us who've been through something like that would like a job with no employees because you want to have employees, and I get that, but they all have their issues too, and you got to make sure.
And we're roofers too, so it's not, this isn't choir boys.
No. Right.
I mean, but they're incredible people.
Yeah.
Right? And you go to battle with them.
Yeah.
I will say this, when I drive by some of those houses and those guys are up there, it's like, how do you have the stones to do that?
Right.
How do you have the stones to be like some of those houses in your neighborhood to go up on those roofs? Man, what does it take to be one of those guys, Shannon?
You have to have a couple screws loose.
Or nails.
Yeah.
Wow. But and your business, and I think a lot of us know you, but besides, again, great employees and putting on roofs, you do a lot for the community. And Johnny had told me a little bit about you. Yeah. I kind of knew some things. And where does that fit in? Where does that come from?
Well, I'm going to tell the story backwards. I just received a national award for community involvement.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But it started with,
there you go.
Speak into the microphone.
Yeah, that's right.
It started with just in the first few years of ownership wanting to give back. And we did that through a lot of like small faith-based contributions. And then you get involved in things like Habitat for Humanity, and then as you grow, your resources grow, and you can give more. And last year, we gave over $500,000 back to the community. One of which, for the first time last year, we gave $100,000 to Freidert for breast cancer research because we had and have many employees. About 20% of we pulled our employees. And about 20% of our employees have been affected in some way by breast cancer.
Wow.
So in breast cancer month, a certain amount of proceeds went and it ended up being $100,000. So we wrote a check to them. We donated three roofs last year to veterans in need. And I got to tell you, John, I told you this at the
Steak Fry.
At the Phoenix Steak Fry. My passion for veterans comes from you, comes from listening to you for the last 25 years. Talk about this, 30 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Talk about this stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
I mean, I don't really have family members that have served, and it hasn't affected me, but your passion bleeds out.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want you to know it people hear it, and
it's real.
I appreciate it.
You know, you said that, you know, the company grew more resources, you could do more, but you don't have to do this stuff. And I teach, you know, profits and that comes before philanthropy, but that's part of being a good business person is giving. And there's some companies that don't do that. And again, I just wanted to, maybe you did answer that, but like, where'd that come from? Were you a little kid? Did you do that? Your parents? Or is it just something that you, through your church, or is it just, you're just one of those good guys?
I think part of it's humble beginnings, I think.
Right.
That is true. I still feel like a fraud most days, you know? So that.
IBS for a living most days.
Now, I mean, if there's a fraud in his room, it's Johnny. But go ahead.
I mean, the amount of money that we contribute every year, I could have every color Ferrari that they make, and that's not me.
Yeah, right? That's cool. I like that.
And I think you gotta give back to the community that's given you so much, and you have to give back to your employees, because I don't make anything, right? We buy stuff and we nail it to people's houses, and I don't nail anything anymore. So it's just you got to take care of your community. You got to take care of your people. And I think if you stay true to that, everything falls into place.
But there's got to be a magic wand here somewhere along the line. Because, again, when I knew you and you were a worker, you were as blue-collar as could possibly be. Now you own a multi-million-dollar company. There's got to be one thing somewhere along the line. And a lot of it's got to be self-confidence. You can say you feel like you're a fraud, which is – and I know what you're saying, but you're not. But what was that one thing that made that leap from this kid painting houses – pounding in nails, doing all that stuff to become owner of a multi-million-dollar company? What was that? Was there one magic thing that lit a spark for you and said, I'm going to do this and I can do this, and that made you successful?
No.
Nope. Okay.
Golly, I wish that's a great question that would have a great answer.
Yeah.
It was, I think the Lord lined up a path for me, and I followed it, and I had faith. I mean, 11 years ago, I sold my house, uprooted my family, put it all on the line, and gambled on a business.
No safety net.
And I had four, at the time, there were four other employees that helped me purchase Security Loop Your Roofing. And we all kind of just, none of us had a business degree, right? So we all had to learn what to do. And we all assumed roles, and we all put our head down, and we learned. We surrounded ourselves with people who knew the things we didn't know, right? My advisory team is incredible, you know, bankers, lawyers, insurance, business. One of my mentors is a business professor at Lawrence.
You know, I just saw a great quote. I forget who is a really famous guy. He said, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you need to go into a different room with people smarter than you. It almost sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, because we also witnessed what happened to help spiral Security Lubkey, you know, back 12, 13 years ago, and none of us wanted to reproduce that. So we just became studious, and we learned, and we always focused on taking care of our employees and our community. And I think that just every year we're like, we didn't plan to grow, but we grew 20%.
Just the fun, by doing the fundamentals.
We grew 40. How did we grow 40%? Well, we just did what we always do. And it was the results were mind-boggling. It's like white-knuckling it the whole time. You're like, okay, I guess we'll hire more people, and I guess we'll buy more trucks, and I guess we'll, right? And it was, so much of it was reactionary, which is why it kind of goes back to feeling like I was a little bit of a fraud. I mean, we learned on the fly. I got my business degree by just, you know.
By doing it.
But yeah.
Yeah, but
we're with Shannon Alberts, owner of Security Lubkey Roofing.
But you said a couple things that I don't know if you realized how well of a business you ran. I mean, to bring advisors that with your weaknesses, like finance, law. I mean, those things some of us didn't study, maybe more law, but not enough finance. And you get those people on your board, that can be extremely helpful.
Absolutely.
And they are, and you know, I don't know if you paid your board members, but even if you did, they really don't need the money. They're just, they want you to be successful. Yep. They want your company. And the, you get, I mean, you've obviously, one of your qualities, and I don't know you that well, but you choose people well. I mean, you obviously chose 120 good employees who are very loyal. And you, and I think that's all part of it. It is a people, every business is a people business.
Yeah.
And you, you.
But that's no small feat, keeping employees these days, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But, yeah. One of the things we started doing about three years ago, we take the, we take almost, if you've worked for me for 3 years, we take you on a Caribbean trip.
No
every,
kidding.
Every year. And that's another 300.
That's a nice
that's
perk.
Another, that's another $300,000. That's another, that's another Ferrari.
Wow.
And, that's incredible.
And it's so great. It's so great. Yeah. So
three keep, years. Let's see. I'll be okay.
Keeping it, keep, keeping employees is really important, but finding them, trusting them, that was a big one. Like we'd hire people, but we wouldn't let them do anything. I wouldn't let them do anything because I had to, I had to control the whole thing. And then once I started to teach and train and I spend more time on leadership development and coaching right now than I do on roofing.
But you know, the cool thing is though, too, you did that. You were there with the tool belt and pounding nails in 98 degrees.
That's how it started.
So it's like, they can't say, oh, well, it's too hot today, boss. And you're like, nope, I've been there.
I had to run across the roof and change the dial to make sure I caught your show every day. And then when your show was over, I had to run across the roof, change the dial to listen to the next show.
Employees awesome. Respect that though, that you carry. Absolutely. You know, salespeople always like when this
you've walked the walk.
You've walked the walk.
Yeah. I like to think so, yeah.
Yeah. What's the part about... Like if you spoke to one of Jim's classes, and we're going to send a quick break, we're going to keep you on. But I want you to think about this. If you spoke to Jim's classes with some of the questions I know they would ask, because everybody, let's be honest.
They all want to be him.
They all want to be him, but they all want the shortcuts. They just do. They just do. And you've talked about that with me, Jim, so many times.
There are no shortcuts. I would have taken it. You know, so would you. I mean, but
you got to start as a cart boy, and then someday you'll be a store manager.
And that happens. I get so many people in here, even Rick Chernick, you know, and he's, but they all start stocking shelves, and they learn the business, and they learn the people, and that happens. That's the way to,
we're going to continue. Shannon Albert, Security Lupkin Roofing, he's the owner, started out as, what would you call it, a nailer?
A gutter installer.
A gutter installer, and now he's the owner of the company. We'll be back right after this. As can be, and there the world below can bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come home feeling tired, I'm in the middle of town. I found a paradise that's trouble
through. I don't want to get fined.
Todd always. Another reason Todd is the world's greatest producer.
Right,
Shannon Albert, owner of Security Lupkin Roofing.
Doesn't miss a beat.
He doesn't miss a beat. He's unbelievable. Shannon, one of the things that we're just talking about, that we want to pick it up from where we left off. And again, this is Jim's passion, is talking to people like you. He teaches it. He was a businessman himself, owned his own companies, and the pitfall. And what did you say, Jim? Is it 20% that succeed? You gave me a figure one time.
Well,
that just
it depends a little
me.
Bit on the industry, but I mean, most businesses fail. Startups.
In the construction industry, it's 90% fail in the first 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Restaurants high. We are.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they fail in your industry. I know in our industry, it was just we just ran out of money.
Yeah.
It was capital. We had a lot of expensive equipment.
Sure. And
we had a lot of accounts receivable, but we got underwater pretty quick. You know, and you gotta find money, but. I just give you a lot of credit. And I think, John, we both said this a number of times. I think it's cool how you worked your way up. And I think that's a good example to your kids, but really to students. I mean, that's just the way these people who want to start on third base, as John always says. It's not the real world.
My kids had a front row seat and watching me dedicate my time to my business, right? I mean, it cost me my marriage a few years ago, but... I think, you know, it all happens for a reason.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to work ethic, my kids are hopefully caught some of that.
I'm sensing that. Yeah. I bet they did. And that's, you know, what a better teacher, you know, just to give money is not the answer, to teach them, you know, it's real work. And that's great. And I don't know what your future plans are, but you know, you're young, but I would ask you to consider politics.
I know it's going to happen.
Because I think you've got a good demeanor about yourself and a great story. Or
And you haven't aged. That ticks me off a little bit.
Right?
You look the same as you looked when you come to the mine or the Vin Man. Were you at the tattoo and branding party that night?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Remember we branded those people?
Yep.
Did you get one?
No.
Did you get the tattoo?
No.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, me either.
Wow.
Okay. I remember that.
Pretty crazy night. Yeah. We had some crazy nights back then.
We did.
I've calmed down.
Sure.
A little bit.
We had the Abbey.
Yeah. Oh, no. Burgers and Bloody Marys for breakfast.
Yeah, that was fun.
On Friday mornings.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Remember the time I ran 6 miles? People didn't believe I could run 6 miles. But I puked going over the bridge in De Pere. Yeah. The old Abbey. We're talking the old Abbey.
There might not be too many people I've known for as long as I've known you.
I know.
What I think about it.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. I was a moron when I first knew you.
So was I.
I'm glad Shannon's changed.
You know, one of the things though too, Shannon, with your business though too, and again, we've talked about this. I know so many people that keeping employees, and even especially the bar business, is terrible. The restaurants, we've had people in here where all of a sudden it's a Friday night and like, where's Sharon or whomever? It's like,
they went over to,
and they never hear from her again. They don't give. And again, not to put down the whatever Gen X or whatever you want to call it, but when I grew up, it's like if I told my dad that I quit my job and I didn't tell people, he'd be like, he worked in the underground iron ore mines for 45 years. You respect the fact you've got a good job, and there's a little bit of an element out there right now where people are just like, he wasn't nice to me today. I'm going to work for someone else. Somehow you've avoided that, huh?
We figured out a while ago that if we get an employee and they stay for 2 years, if they stay through two winters, right? Okay. Then they like working there and they're going to be there a long time.
Okay.
Which is why we do that trip
right.
for employees on their third year.
Right.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Because we know that if you've made it to that third year, this is a spot for you. But it starts by us. Every employee has a voice, right?
Sure.
So we have a forum for all of our employees to be heard. Even though, I mean, when you have 20 employees, it's nice and cozy.
Yeah.
When you have 120, you feel a little disjointed, mm-hmm. right? And it can sometimes feel too big. So we try to keep that, departmentally, we try to keep that cozy still. So everybody has a voice, everybody feels respected, everybody feels taught and cared for. And I think that really helps with retention.
That's awesome.
And retention is so critical because it costs quite a bit of money to hire and train someone new. So I think people who are listening, you've got to take care of the people who got you to the party. And that growth, and I'll give you a lot of credit for two things. One is you survived COVID, and a lot of people didn't in this community. They just didn't have the runway they needed. And I'm sure your business took a little bit of a hit, or maybe it didn't.
We had to pivot.
Right.
We ended up having a good year, but the first half of the year was abysmal.
Well, nobody knew anything back then. People just like, they're canceling.
Nobody knew how it was going to end.
Right. The basketball, they're canceling these big events and then the small things. And then the government says they shut us down. And it's like, okay, now what?
So, it's like, are we going to spend whatever amount of money for a new roof when we don't know if we're going to have a job in a year or 6 months?
We ended up buying folding tables that we put in every vehicle, every one of our sales reps' vehicles. And we were doing quotes and demos and estimates in people's driveways.
Oh, sure.
Wearing masks 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then once we figured out how to still provide, because that's a need. If you need a roof, you need a roof
right? or destroy your whole house.
We figured out how to do that. So by the end of the year, we ended up having a really nice 2020.
And two things. One is you had a little bit of dry powder, I'm assuming, and you pivoted. And there's some people that didn't do either. And pretty good companies. I was surprised. I was like, wow, I can't believe you folded up in 60 days.
I agree.
You know, I don't know. But I'm glad that you survived that. The other thing, I besides the employee retention, I just want to ask, did your kids come in the business? I'm curious just to you as an owner if that was a priority of yours, which some people it really is. I want this for my kids. Other people. Yeah.
Absolutely not. I have four daughters, and we raised them to spread their wings, you know, fight for what they believe in. And none of them gave two rips about roofing, you know?
Yeah.
And they're spread around the country right now doing their own amazing things. And I tell them all the time, there's a place for you here. And Not one of them has expressed any interest, really.
I have three daughters. Kind of the same thing, but I hope they come back here because, you know, it's whatever. So
I have one daughter in Little Chute, and then the other three are spread around.
So I want to just give you the credit for that, but I want to talk to you about future in politics because I really think good people, good business people with a good mind. You can say, I'm going to go run the government like a business. It's not that easy. There's too many.
Thank you, Todd.
What was that for?
For every time you say about getting somebody into politics, he rings the bell.
That was one thing. The other thing,
it's kind of like in It's a Wonderful Life, Angel gets his wings, they ring the bell. When Jim tries to recruit somebody for politics, we ring the bell.
I do. The good people, I always ask. The other thing I just...
You've never asked me to go into politics.
Yeah, it's true. The other thing I do want to say is they're always looking for good teachers, you know, and but you're busier. I mean, it's crazy right now for you, but maybe in 5-10 years, you can give a little back through teaching too. Cause I think you've got a great story.
The thought of, it's funny you bring this up. We just got through with all of our conferences and conventions, which happened in the beginning of the year. And I'm sitting in ones where they're talking about what's your next 5 years? What's your next 10 years? What, you know, because if I'm financially secure now, what I still have to do something. What are my passions? Teaching is for sure one of them. Business coaching. Absolutely.
Awesome.
It is absolutely. Very rewarding.
And
you'd be phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
I'm serious.
And politics, the Security Libke Roofing was founded by Reed Ribble's father.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Right. So he left, he built himself a platform and went out and did something with that. So the thought of that is terrifying, but intriguing.
Right.
You know, because you can't argue with the need for.
I'm going to do something for your company right now. If somebody calls in sick this summer and you need somebody, but it's got to be a ranch house. I don't like heights. I'll do ranches.
We do flat roofs too.
I'll do a flat roof.
You'd be fine.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Doghouse.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm just not a second story guy. Shannon Alberts, owner, Security Lubke Roofing. Thank you for everything you do for our community and for our veterans. What a great success story. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for being here,
buddy.
Keep
up the good work.
920.
You can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, that was great having Shannon Alberts on Security Lubke Roofing. He does such great things for the community, and he does veterans. He does free roofs for veterans in need, which is just phenomenal. And again, I knew him when he was just starting out. Now he owns the company. And we always talk about this, Jim, with our small, I mean, it's not a small business, but small business spotlight. But we always try to dissect what's the difference. Because like he said, 90% of construction companies, startups go, I don't know if you want to call it bankrupt, just go out of business within 2 years.
Right.
In your thing with restaurants, it's like 80% don't make it. And he has found a way to do it. So that's a test tube right there of how you do it. Just taking care of your people, hiring good people, and keeping them there. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
It was just great. Speaking of taking care of communities.
Yep. Let's go to Oshkosh.
We're going to go to Oshkosh and talk to Ryan.
Ryan, do you know why I say that way? Do you know why I say Oshkosh? Do you know why?
Tell me.
He looks young.
Ryan, how old are you?
I am 37 years old.
All right.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's too young. I hear myself. Ryan, I used to watch All-Star Wrestling every Saturday night. Okay. And you know who the big sponsor was for All-Star Wrestling?
Tell me. Was it Oshkosh?
Yes. Brought to you by Plywood Oshkosh.
Plywood
Oshkosh.
Any style, any price range. Free for each foot of upper and lower kitchen cabinets. A foot of our regular countertop free at Plywood Oshkosh.
There you go.
Nice.
Okay,
for
Thank
such
you,
a conservative community, but that worked. It worked. Whoever came
what
up with that.
What nationality would that be? German?
I don't know. A little bit more.
Oh, gosh. I love it. So anyway, that's where I came from, Ryan.
And it really branded that. And it worked, which I bet when they came in and they played that commercial to the owner and his team, I bet some people said, we're not going to use her.
Yeah.
I mean, we need a Packer. We need somebody from the Midwest. And whoever went with her, that was a good move.
Because it stood
probably
out.
Gutsy. Oh, yeah.
Well, then they expanded to Green Bay. So it was Plywood Oshkosh, Green Bay and Oshkosh.
That's right.
Yep. And she
but the way she said Oshkosh
is
so cool.
50 years later, we're still talking about it.
Absolutely.
You know, they just really did something right.
But so that's where it came from, Ryan. Are you Oshkosh born and raised?
I am born and raised, lived here my whole life. I absolutely love this community.
Because there's a lot of Rasmussens in the UP. You're related to any of the Rasmussens in the UP?
We're taking over the world.
Are you related to some of them up there?
No, I'm not, but we're all taking over the world.
All right, fine.
All right. So the area, Oshkosh, Area Community Pantry, You do have a giving community, and I'm sure that's what's kept you there. So did you know Marty Carr, place to be?
I did. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he was at my first swearing in and did the religious part of it. I was at his first mass. Just a great guy. Great, great guy. And I know that place is still there. He died. But I'm glad his place is living on. So tell me, the need in Oshkosh, is it growing, declining? What are you seeing?
Yeah, the need is just incredible. And really, that's nationwide. So we're no different. But right here in this community, we can run a lot of stats. And right now, we factor about 31% of our Winnebago County residents are facing food insecurity right
now. Wow, 30%? 1 in 3?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And the need is just continuing to grow. I've been at the pantry for about 2.5 years now. And when I first got to the pantry, we were helping about 1,300 families a month. Right now, as we sit here today, I'm doing about 2,300 plus. It's just been incredible. I mean, a 70% growth just between, 2023 and 22. We're on track already. We're doing another 20% increase on top of that right now. So, the need is crazy out there. Yeah. But there's a lot of reasons for that, right? I mean, life is happening, right? Everything is more expensive than it was before.
Ryan, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm wondering, something over the last few years opened my eyes, and it's kind of partially because of Jim, and I mean this in a really good way. He works at the NEW Community Shelter, which is a homeless shelter, but more than a homeless shelter, they're advocates for helping people get back on their feet, not just a flop house type thing, go get drunk and here's a place for you to sleep. It's not that kind of place at all. But what I'm saying is, in meeting some of his people, many of these people were successful people. It's not as far as a drop as you would ever think to go from being up here and life is good, I'm mom and pop in the home, to not having a job, not being able to afford rent, not being able to afford to buy a house. And where do you go? It is not as steep of a drop as I used to think, is it?
No, it really isn't. I mean, some of my favorite examples are really, folks that go from a two-income household to one income. All of a sudden, you're putting yourself in a food insecure situation and really having to make decisions on where you're going to spend your dollars, right? We've got some folks at the pantry who, have all kinds of stories to tell. We've got, one guest who is going through a nasty divorce. So all of the money right now is being tied up into lawyer bills and all those things. But those are exactly the types of people that we want to make sure that we're there for. And selfishly as a pantry, those are the folks that are only, utilizing services for a short time, right? There's something that's happened in their life. We want to be there to make sure that they have their food needs and then they can.
And another thing, though, is like when I was in real estate and there's some of the foreclosed houses I went to, it's like, Jesus, a nice house. And the guy, but they didn't have great medical insurance and something somewhat catastrophic happened and it wiped them out. I mean, even I'm old enough now to be on Medicare and I thought, oh, my God, that's free. You get free everything. And I went to the dentist a few weeks ago and they covered like, I don't even think it was 10%. And I had to write a check for like $900 as I was leaving the dentist's office. Yeah. And it's like, oh, the world is crueler. It's tougher than you think.
Yeah,
that's exactly right, which is part of the reason why with our pantry, we like to consider ourselves to be a very barrier-free pantry, right? So there are only two prerequisites that you need to be able to utilize our services. You just have to provide proof of who you are and proof of address that you just live within our service area. That's it. I mean, we don't ask for income thresholds. We don't ask for anything else. If you self-describe yourself as feeling food insecure, we're going to make sure that you get the help you need.
All right. I was going to ask about your process. That's not asking too much.
No, we don't think so. And along those same lines of being barrier free, we also want to make our pantry experience so much better. And so unlike a traditional pantry model where, you go to a pantry and you receive a box of food, we're set up just like a grocery store. And there are not many of us that are doing it exactly in that way, but there are a few. Or different variations of it. And we just find that, it allows our guests to retain so much more dignity.
Right.
The power of choice is just so important to our guests rather than us telling, the guests, here's what's good enough for you.
Take it or leave it.
Things. Yeah, exactly. Pick the things that you would like, just like you would in any other grocery store.
We're with Ryan Rasmussen, Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. You opened my eyes when you said 31% of the people in your county need some help with food.
And they do. And, like we all learned in school, with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, they need food and shelter before they can start making better decisions or good decisions, period. And that needs to be provided. And if the government's not stepping up, like they, I don't know if we really need them, but I'm sure a lot of your things come from the community, right? The donations.
Yeah, there's some major ways that we get our food operations is one through Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. They're a major partner with us. We do have a government program that we participate in called TFAP. It's the Emergency Food and Assistance Program through DACAP. And then the rest of it is all through community outreach. Right. And whether that's folks hosting food drives or donating money to us or corporations in the community that are willing to give back or granting or foundations. It's really important to have that community backing. And we really just feel as a staple in this community, we've been in this community for 15 years already. And we've really gotten some good, positive community support.
So Ryan, where are you located? What are your hours? And Johnny and I are
and
doing
how can
this-
we help?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are located at 2551 Jackson Street. It's inside the St. Vincent de Paul building. We actually have a great relationship with St. Vinny's here in Oshkosh. They own the building. We lease some space. So when you walk in the building, just hang a left, you run right into us.
Cool.
But it allows for some wraparound services because St. Vinny's also has some different opportunities for guests as well. So we're located there. Hours of operation, Monday to Thursday. Monday, 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So that way we've got some evening hours for folks that might be working. Tuesday to Thursday from 10 a.m. until 2:45 p.m.
Are there qualifications, Ryan? I mean, do you vet people at all or?
Not really. No, okay. That's the great thing about us being barrier free. As long as you have an ID, you live in our service area, we're going to get you food. Our shoppers right now can shop 2 times a month. So twice a month, they're able to come in, utilize our grocery store and grab some of those essentials that they need.
Outstanding.
That is. And you know, thank you for doing that. You know, I
think of anything worse than a little kid being hungry.
Right. Well, if they're unsheltered, that's,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, sleeping in your car, it happens. What? Go ahead. Yeah.
We've got the school pantry program. And it's a great point as well. In the Oshkosh area school district right now, there's about 45% of those kiddos that are food insecure.
Wow.
There are only 2 schools in Oshkosh that don't qualify for free or reduced lunch. And so we developed a program where we're actually pumping fresh fruits. So apples, oranges, bananas, and then granola bars and fruit bars into the school district. Right now, 4,000 students a week are utilizing that.
Wow.
Program.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the size of my hometown. They're like everybody in my hometown, 4,000 people.
But you got to start young, right? Because science proves food insecurity at a young age, especially during a learning developmental age, you know, it will set you up for success if you're feeling hungry and you're feeling full. You'll be a much better student.
Right. And I think sometimes as much as you hope the parents know, sometimes we have to work through the kids. And when it comes to nutrition, you know, there's a lot of programs focused on the schools, and for 2 reasons. One is you want to get right to the kid, but secondly, you know, they can learn that maybe they're not learning that at home, how to eat carrots instead of cookies, that kind of stuff. And that's great that you have.
How did you get involved with this, Ryan? What's the passion?
I tell you, I have been in food, beverage, hospitality, large scale events my entire career. So I've always been in the food business. Always wanted to get into nonprofits, just didn't find that right avenue. Just to kind of give you a little background of me, this is going to tell a little bit of a cool story. But I spent 10 years up in your neck of the woods working at Lambeau Field. I was working for Levy Restaurants, working my way through Lambeau for a long time. After Delaware came in, I looked for something else, wanted to do something different, came back to Oshkosh, worked at EAA for almost 10 years, and then winded up at the food pantry here. And again, always just wanted to get into the nonprofit sector, just didn't find that right avenue. And this one just made sense. It just brought back all of the things about the food industry that I love, but also being able to give back to this community, which is just so important to me, especially being born and raised here, being able to help our friends and neighbors here is just incredible.
That's fantastic.
So let's talk a little bit. If we got a couple of minutes here, not that it's growing, that you have a lot of people that need the food, and I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions that maybe haven't gone anywhere because of, I don't know, bureaucracy or something. I just know that here in Green Bay, we talk about food deserts, right? Where it's easier to find an orange soda than an orange. And that's not a good idea. I mean, you can't have just these gas stations. They have to expand that a little bit to at least some fresh fruits and vegetables. But 2 things. I want to ask about your demographics, that 31%. And I just at the shelter, we're seeing more elderly, which is really scary. I mean, yep. If you're in a homeless shelter when you're elderly, that's tough. It's not like, you know, younger people that are like, I'm going to get back together. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to go get a job with roofing or, you know, landscaping or CNA. So we see more of that. You know, we're addressing that properly. But tell me, you have some suggestions on how we can get that number less than 1 in 3?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I mean, I think when you think about, you know, just the food industry as a whole, you know, everything is expensive. So the more that we can do to put, you know, money in the pockets of people is going to be helpful, right? But the next biggest thing is really, rather than talking about food insecurity, let's talk about nutrition insecurity. Let's make sure that we can get fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, right, fresh meats into the hands of folks that really need them. Because, you know, I've been talking about this for a while now, which is, you know, I wish that I could solve nutrition insecurity, but I'm still dealing with food insecurity. Yeah. So once I can do one, once I fix one, I hopefully can fix the other. But we've got to find a way to be able to get some more fresh fruits and vegetables into the hands of folks. That's why, especially with summertime coming up right now, farmers markets are coming back. For folks that are using EBT, SNAP, you know, get into your farmers markets and being able to use those.
Most farmers take that now. Yeah, they do, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they'll double your amount, you know, which is incredible. So use it. You know, those are just some of the ways. And obviously getting into the kiddos, we've got to take a look at, you know, maybe how school lunches are prepared as well, and making sure that we've got enough for the kiddos there that is sustainable, right? So there's a lot of work to do, but there's a lot of great things that's already happening.
Right. Something that we're trying to do is get them to do some of their own gardening. You know, yeah, they raise their vegetables, because then it's kind of, you know, the full circle. I kind of planted this seed and now I can eat these carrots or kohlrabi or whatever they're doing. But yeah, I'm glad you're working on this, Ryan, because we really, we need this. We need someone like you in every community.
Yeah, that's true.
I appreciate that.
Ryan Rasmussen, Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. 1 in 3 households need some help with food. Ryan, thanks for everything you do in your community.
Thanks, guys. This was great. Loved being here. So thank you so much.
Love having you on, buddy. We'll visit you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. We're going to set a quick break. Mind on the Mayor, back after this.
Last night, thinking about last night. Last night, thinking about last night. They were full of surprise.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor wrap it up here in a nice two. What's the song, Todd? Talk to us. There's always a reason for Todd's musical selections.
I was looking for something with food, and the only thing I could really come up with was Eat It from, what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Weird Al.
Yeah.
But I like Traveling Wilburys.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I just played it. Roy Orbison was in there, right? Jeff Lynne from ELO.
All right.
Yeah, so that's why.
Good selection.
I still say Roy Orbison might have the greatest voice in music history.
Oh, man.
Doesn't he, though?
Oh, man.
Just incredible.
Love that guy. Absolutely.
Just incredible.
You could listen to him.
Was he actually blind, or was he...
He just had really bad eyesight.
Just wore those sunglasses out there. Yeah. No, he could get back to the dressing room.
Yeah.
He was here, you know.
Was he?
I told you that. Yeah.
Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Did he have soft skin?
No, I did. I would have.
Hey, Roy Orbison, he had calloused hands. Nothing like the Dalai Lama. Nothing at all like him. Oh, my gosh.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. Laugh.
No, we were just talking about something that we both read the article that just made us both incensed.
Okay. Obviously, how we got on that. So we're talking about all the good people, right? We've had some great people on our show.
And especially today. You guys had, and I know some of the topics were a little deep, but these people were just
great.
Philanthropy. And even yesterday, too, a little bit. But just people giving back. That's my priority. And it's like, look, that's what I want to do. Well, I was reading this article last night, and John read it as well. There was a guy who was a self-proclaimed financial planner, and he was in the reserves, and he counseled Gold Star families. Now, obviously, everybody knows a Gold Star family is where you've lost a son or daughter and in the military.
Or husband or wife.
Someone in your family. But immediate in your family.
Immediate family.
And they're just so respected at events. They're usually, you know, recognized and as they should be. This guy counseled them financially and stole their money.
Millions.
Could you believe that? Like, that's like, I said to John, I said, yeah, I can see maybe, you know, taking some ATM money or something. But I mean, to do that, I mean,
Yeah. Gold Star families ripped him off.
Wow.
I hope there's a special place in hell for that man.
I think there is.
I really do.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's really sad after all we heard today, right?
Yeah. All these people doing great things.
Right.
Jake Vandeplas, Door County Farm for Veterans, is just amazing. Then we had Kaylon, our new head coach at UW Green Bay for women's basketball, who's going to help these young student athletes that you can't believe. Shannon Elberts, Security Loop Key Roofing, the amazing things he does for the community. And then Ryan Rasmussen from the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. And again, boy, did that open our eyes. We both looked at each other, Todd. 1 in 3, 31% need help in Oshkosh or in Winnebago County.
And they need help, like stocking and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, volunteers. Yeah.
That. I think we should go down as a team one day.
Absolutely.
And Mino, I mean, there you go, Mino. Stocking some frozen food or something like that.
You know what else I want to do, though? You know what else I want to do? He said they're in the St. Vincent de Paul thing.
Yeah.
I want to work there, too. Because when people bring in stuff, sometimes there's stuff that could be kind of collectible. I'd buy it from them, like, right off the... There's that thing, that this was, like, my dream. The guy found Vince Lombardi's sweater from when he coached at West Point. I forget where it was, and it went for like 50 cents, and it auctioned off for like $50,000. Yeah. So I want to volunteer there too and buy stuff from people.
I don't know if you do the intake.
Can I do that?
I don't know if
I'll give them a fair price. I'll give them a fair price.
Remember that Aaron Rodgers had a suit in there?
Yeah.
That kid got that. And I don't think you can take that stuff at intake.
I would buy it, Jim.
Oh.
He's just saying he would notice it, right?
And let them know what it's worth.
Right.
And then buy it from them. Give them a fair price. And just meet them out at their car. What?
With the trunk open, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And hey, I got some bananas for you, too.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, we had Aiden on from Appleton.
Yep.
And he owns that store, The Wild Goose.
Yes.
On College Avenue. And that's where he gets a lot of stuff from. He used to work there, and he'd buy T-shirts, like from rock concerts from the 70s, and those went for big. Those go for big money.
Yeah, he was talking about how.
So I would like to work there at the pantry or Goodwill or something. I'll give them more than it's even worth.
Okay, that's also infrequent, so that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah, but in between, then he's doing the good thing, and working there, and you know,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
Whenever I come up with some, you always think the worst.
You're just doing it. The problem I have with that scenario is it's a little selfish. You're really not going to help St. Vincent de Paul. You're kind of going there to find a lucky charm.
Oh, that hurt.
John, you just told a story. Okay. If you're going there to put clothes on the shelf and unpack the toys or broken toys and fix them and get them on the shelf, that's why you should be there.
That's the reason I would be there.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking for a find.
If a find comes along.
Oh, then. It's just happenstance.
What are you supposed to do?
All right.
It's human nature. Come on. You know?
Sorry, John. I read it wrong. Okay.
How much do you think, because that friend of mine whose son owns that, she has a Bart Starr sport coat. And I can even picture of him when he used to wear a sport coat during the games.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that one famous picture of him in a plaid sport coat. And it has designed exclusively for Bart Starr on the inside and the lapel. And she's got it. How much do you think that would be worth?
That's cool. I mean, a small group. I mean, there's probably 10 people that just think Bart Starr.
Well, I was at that fundraiser where Bart Starr's watch went for $11,000.
Right. Yeah. Out of that room, there was probably only 3 or 4 people that were willing to spend that kind of money. I mean, we all like Bart Starr. We respect him, but I don't know. Would I pay a lot of money for his sport coat? No, but there are people who would.
And absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on, you know, the auction and who's in there and how much you had to drink, but you could get that price pretty high.
Because maybe she'd donate that to me and we could raffle it off at one of our events.
That would be great.
All right.
She'd donate to us and then Johnny would be, this is kind of back to the St. Vinny's thing. It never showed up, you guys. I don't know what she's talking
about. One of our fundraising things wearing it.
John, it looks a lot like Bart Starr.
No. This is mine from high school. Plaid was big back then. Don't you know that? Plaid was big.
No, there's...
All right. Yeah. Todd, what do we got coming up tomorrow?
A lot of stuff. We got our friends Ben and Deanna Melcor joining us.
Love
it. About some real estate. Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins us with another slice of Wisconsin.
Love it.
Great.
Those are always fun. And one of the guys that you put me in touch with, Pierre Jacques,
yes.
I think is what it is, how you say his last name, from the Green Bay UFO Museum Gift Shop and Records.
Yes. This is going to be interesting. I want to stop at that store. I love stores like that.
And then might we have a special guest on, like the guy who we all work for?
I don't think he's going to be on the show.
Oh.
Okay. I think he's coming after the show, Jim.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, Sage and
Don't worry, you'll get a chance to suck up to him.
That's
like,
what he...
Todd, has there ever been a person...
Okay,
more than he sucks up to our owner?
Let me just say that. I had an opportunity to talk to him he sat down at our table at these Madison Awards
show. And then he moved because you're annoying him.
Because John, because he looked at you and he's like,
he didn't even eat.
But Jim's like, I'm going to move my workout session so I can spend more time
with
him. Do we want to take him out for dinner the night before?
I did. That's not sucking up. Man, that's survival.
By the way, I ate Sage's cheesecake. Is that right?
See, that's why I got to spend time with the guy to make up.
As soon as he left, I ate his cheesecake.
Yeah, ignore him, Sage. I got you.
Well, anyway, thanks for all the wonderful guests we had here today. Oof. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in tomorrow morning. Mine on the Mare. See ya.